Let's talk about the Lord's Supper today. Now, we're not taking the Lord's Supper today because we're not together. And so I've got it here in front of me, but this is the cheap Aldi brand grape juice, and I'm out on that. However, I might go ahead and finish up this Panera baguette later today, all in one sitting, of course. But I'm not going to be taking the Lord's Supper today, and neither are you. I put the elements here in front of us, the bread and the juice, simply to make us hungry for a time when we can take the Lord's Supper together. And that's what this sermon is about, is examining ourselves properly and checking to see if we're sufficiently desirous, if we're really hungry for a time when we can take together and a time when we take when Christ is serving his supper in heaven. Our passage for today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is actually admonishing the church. He's telling them they've done wrong because everything is a mess when this church gets together to take the Lord's Supper. There's some people who are showing up early and eating everything at the meal because they're eating it as a part of a meal. Eating everything at the meal before anyone else shows up. People are bringing their own little food and not sharing it with each other. There are some who are getting drunk off the Lord's Supper wine. In all sorts of ways, there are factions, they don't like each other, and the whole thing is a mess when it's supposed to be gathering them together in Christ. Paul even says in this passage that the reason why some of them are getting sick and why some of them are dying is because they're taking the Lord's Supper improperly. And the answer that he has for them about how to take the supper properly is that they need to examine themselves. They need to examine to see if there's sin in their life. And they also need to examine how they think about the rest of the body of Christ, that is, the rest of the believers. I'm going to read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 27. This comes right after the few verses that we read every time we take the Lord's Supper. As Paul tells them, here's how you're supposed to do it, to take the bread and then also to take the cup and to drink of it because it's the new covenant in Christ's blood. Well, in verse 27, what Paul says is that they need to start examining themselves. Read with me. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself. In this way, let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. If we were properly judging ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned with the world. This is our passage together. He says, first, if you do this wrongly, you're sinning against the body and blood of Christ. He says, we shouldn't take this lightly. And his answer is, you need to examine yourself first, to make sure that you are recognizing the body properly. And that is each other he's talking about, the body of Christ, all the people you're gathered with together. And likewise, to make sure that you are properly judging yourself. So I want to give you today several diagnostic questions that each one of us can use for self-examination. While we're not going to gather to get today and be able to take the Lord's Supper, what we can do is be prepared for that day when we do take the Lord's Supper again, to make sure that we've properly examined ourselves and our relationship with each other, so that when we take it as a joyful blessing. We receive it in faith and not taking it the wrong way, which would be terrible for all of us. So the first question for self-examination, the first diagnostic question that I have for you today is this. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus' death on the cross was good enough for all of your sins, sufficient to take care of all of them? This is the center of our faith. This is where all our hope comes together, is that Christ's death on the cross was good enough for all of our sins, and that he did do it for each and every one of us, that it was sufficient for all of us. See, before the Reformation, the view of the Lord's Supper, and it was referred to as the Mass, that went around in the Catholic Church was that this was a fresh sacrificing of Christ every time they took the Lord's Supper. And the way you receive the grace of God, you receive it by taking of the sacrifice. So you have to come and take the wafer and receive it, or else you're not receiving the grace of God. This is why it was so important that you had to show up for Mass, because you needed to take the grace of God. There were certain ways you could receive merit or receive grace, either by penance or by giving, or buying indulgences, which became particularly odious. But one of them was actually taking this was the way that you received the grace of God. Now, that's not what we believe. You tell me, what do we believe? How do you get the grace of God? We all know that we get salvation by grace, but how do you receive the grace? It's not from eating the bread or drinking the wine. We have salvation by grace through faith alone. It is simply by believing that we receive the grace of God. There's nothing else He requires of us or wants us to do that we could do. We offer our lives to Him completely and wholly and say, Jesus, I will obey You with my entire life. But He offers His grace to us freely. The sacrifice that He made on the cross, He did because He wanted to do it for us, and now He offers it to us if we will simply have it through faith. So the first diagnostic question when you come to the Lord's Supper is this. Do you believe? Do you believe that His death was good enough for all your sins? And do you believe that Christ did in fact die for you and your sins? Now the second question is also important. Here, have this as a diagnostic question. Are you sufficiently hungry for a relationship with God? Ask yourself today, are you hungry? Do you want to know God? Do you want to have a relationship with Him? If Christ has done all of this to bring us into relationship with God, then are you hungry for that relationship with God? You might remember last Sunday when we were gathered together at church, we read the parable of the prodigal son, and we talked about the older son and the younger son, that is, the good son and the bad son, and how they both went about in their own way, trying to get the Father's stuff, but they had no interest in a relationship with the Father. Again, it's entirely possible that in one way or another, by trying to do righteousness and act good, or by going crazy, we've just wanted good stuff for ourselves. We've wanted the Father's stuff, but no relationship with Him. So examine yourself now. Are you hungry for the grace and relationship of God? Do you want to know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, closely and personally? This is what He wants from us. Before we come and take at the Lord's table, we need to be careful to examine and see, do we really want this relationship with God as bad as we ought to want it? Now, another question we have, just for diagnostics, to examine ourselves, is this one. Is your attitude towards God sufficiently thankful? Our primary disposition towards God should be gratitude, should be thankfulness towards Him. After all, He's done everything for us. He has loved us and been good to us, even when we haven't. And so our primary attitude when we go to speak to Him has to be thankfulness. The beginning, end, and middle of our prayers are thankful to God, even if we're grieved and needing to ask Him for things. And by all means, ask Him for anything that you need. He loves to provide for us. But still, our primary disposition towards Him is one of gratitude and thankfulness. So examine your heart. Is your attitude towards God primarily that of gratefulness? More than once, somebody has come up to me after we took the Lord's Supper, either at this church or a previous one, and said, Jordan, why are you smirking while we're taking the Lord's Supper? And perhaps it's a mischievous bent in me that I always kind of have a smirk on my face. But at the same time, it's just a joyful ceremony. It's true. Other times I have wrongfully been cavalier about serious things that should be treated seriously. But not this one, I don't think. The Lord's Supper is a serious occasion, and there's a lot of gravity around it as we're remembering the cost that he paid in order to secure our freedom. But there's also so much thankfulness and gratitude involved that Christ did this freely for us before we even knew about it, that it brings about some joy. A good way to think about this is like a marriage ceremony. A marriage ceremony is serious. It's a serious thing, and it ought to be treated serious. It's an austere occasion. But it's also one of great joy, and I couldn't stop smiling through that ceremony either. So it is with the Lord's Supper. We remember with grief our sins, but having remembered them and confessed them, we know they're forgiven, and all there is left is rejoicing. Joy, just thankfulness and gratitude towards God for what he has done. It's as if we stop thinking about ourselves after confession, and now we're just thinking about him and how great and wonderful he is. Examine yourself. Is your attitude towards God sufficiently grateful when you go to him? Do you go to him rejoicing that you can simply say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you've been so gracious to me? Another diagnostic question for us is this. Examine yourself. Are you ready to offer yourself for the rest of the congregation just as Christ offered himself for you? This is an important element of the Lord's Supper that's often missed. Plenty of Christian traditions out there have treated the Lord's Supper as if it's just an individual activity, as in you go and take just by yourself. This isn't all of us together. This is just Christ and you, and that's the end of the matter. But that's not the way we take it. We take it as a group, as we think Christ did with his apostles in the upper room, and as the Corinthian church and these other churches were supposed to be doing, that is, gathering together and taking the Lord's Supper together. Because we are saved individually, one by one, as we choose to repent and follow Christ. But then after that, we are saved and joined together with him, but also with each other. And so, the Lord's Supper, the Christian life, is a commandment to follow Jesus. And if Jesus lays down his life for others, then so we need to lay down our lives for each other. So that diagnostic question again is this. Are you really prepared for offering your life as service to those who are around you, for the brothers and sisters in Christ? When we take this together, that's what we're declaring. That we are in communion with each other, that we have a union with each other, we're in covenant together, we the members of Talitha Baptist Church, and so we take together declaring that our lives are for each other and will be given for each other as there is need for them. And so we're taking in the Lord's Supper. These questions are only just a start. They're not a complete list of every way that you need to examine yourself. There are certainly more ways for self-examination as you prepare for the Lord's Supper. But this is the primary way that Paul gives us to make sure that we're not just abusing the rights that God has given us or abusing this ordinance that he gave us to help us to bond ourselves to him and together and to remember and rejoice. One more question that I like to ask for you is this. Are you ready for Christ to return and offer the supper to us himself? I mean, this is both looking back and remembering what Christ did on the cross, but it's also looking forward to what will happen when Christ returns. There's a feast to be had at the kingdom of heaven, and at the head of the table is Christ serving the meal to all of us. Are you really hungry and ready for that day when Christ returns? Because after all, as Paul says in the passage, we do this. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Are you ready for him to come again? Some of these applications I've taken from one of my spiritual heroes, Balthasar Hubmaier, who I like quite a bit. And I want to read to you a little piece from his form of the Lord's Supper. Hubmaier here was writing in the 15 20s and 1530s, and he wrote something he called a form for the Lord's Supper. He had become an Anabaptist. He had decided that believer's baptism was right, and he had received believer's baptism and had been bringing people to trust Christ, to believe that salvation comes by grace through faith, and then baptizing them. And now, since they had no use any longer for the Catholic Mass, they did still want to obey Christ in the Lord's Supper, but what does it mean, and how are they to do it? And so he gave them a lot of answers in this form of a Lord's Supper, including some of these diagnostic questions that I've given you today. They come straight from him. One of the neat things that he has them do is he has them say a pledge to each other before they take together. And I want to read this pledge to you. It's just a few short paragraphs, and at the end of each one, you are to respond with, "I will," almost just like at a wedding ceremony where there's a pledge made and you say, "I do," or "I will." That's what Hubmaier has the congregation to do. So, though we're not taking the supper today, I still want us to be pledged to each other in this way. So listen and let us pledge at the right time. Brothers and sisters, if you will to love God before, in, and above all things, in the power of his holy and living word, serve him alone, honor and adore him, and henceforth sanctify his name, subject your carnal and sinful will to his divine will, which he has worked in each of you by his living word, in life and death, then let each say individually, "I will. I will." If you will love your neighbor and serve him with deeds of brotherly love, if you will lay down and shed for him your life and blood, if you will be obedient to father, mother, and all authorities according to the will of God, and this in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down and shed his flesh and blood for us, then let each say individually, "I will. I will." If you will practice fraternal admonition towards your brothers and sisters, making peace and unity among them, and reconcile yourselves with all those whom you have offended, abandoning hate, abandoning envy, abandoning evil will towards one another, willingly ceasing all actions and behaviors which cause harm, disadvantage, or offense to your neighbor. If you will also love your enemies and do good to them, and exclude, according to the rule of Christ, all those who refuse to do so, then let each say individually, "I will. I will." And if you desire publicly to confirm before the church this pledge of love which you have now made through the Lord's Supper of Christ by eating bread and drinking wine, and to testify to it in the power of the living memorial of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ our Lord, then let each say individually, "I desire to confirm this pledge. I desire to confirm this pledge." It's a beautiful pledge, and I hope we'll be able to say it together soon someday, and to say it when we're taking the Lord's Supper, pledging ourselves to him, pledging ourselves to each other. But until that day, let us simply long for a day when we can get together and do this. Let us be hungry for the Lord's Supper as it is before us. Let us all the more long for that day when Christ returns. He is the one who serves in the kingdom of heaven. Finally, let us be constantly examining ourselves. Do you believe? Are you hungry for God? Is your disposition towards him thankfulness? And are you ready to offer yourself likewise for the rest of the congregation? Then let us proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord until he comes again.